statistical, so unpredictable, here on the SNL Network.
Yes, welcome on in, everybody, to the Saturday Night Network for our fourth episode of the SNN Impression Countdown, the show where we reveal your voted top 20 impressions in the history of Saturday Night Live. And tonight, we are revealing numbers 9, 8, and 7 as we make our way towards the number one pick of the greatest impression in the history of the show. With me tonight is one of our amazing patrons. It is Brennan Keller. Brennan, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm getting excited for a vacation I have coming up next week up to your neck of the woods, John, up in Canada. We'll be very close to you over in Calgary to see Banff so National close. Park and my girlfriend. Yep.
Yes, exactly. Everywhere in Canada, super cool. So, well, we welcome you up here, so I hope you have a great time in Canada. Besides that, Brennan, how are you doing this summer? You're missing SNL?
Oh, yeah. Who isn't? I mean, we got really short end of the stick with that end of the season, and then so many good, funny things happened this summer that would have made a great sketch. So,
yes, always think about stuff like that. But you know, thinking of our friends who are consistently getting the short ends of those sticks, our writers' friends, so and the actors, I guess, too. Now, so thinking
absolutely,
about them.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll update as soon as we hear more about us. I heard that the writers had a meeting last Friday with the AMP.
I say strike as long as you need. Yep, strike as long as you need. That's the important
we'll
part.
We'll see how it goes. But yeah, but tonight we're talking about the greatest impressions in the history of the show as voted by you, the fans. If you missed our first three episodes, go back and check them out. And if you don't feel like it, I'm going to reveal the impressions that we already revealed on the podcast the last few weeks. So let me go over the list so far. I'm going to ask you your thoughts on the list up until tonight, Brennan. So here are the 11 previous impressions that we have revealed. In the first episode, number 20, Sudeikis' Biden, then Joe Piscopo's Frank Sinatra, Anna Gasteyer's Martha Stewart, Jay Farrow's Denzel Washington. In episode number 2, we revealed at 16, Keenan's Steve Harvey, Amy Poehler's Hillary Clinton, Chevy Chase's Gerald Ford, Dan Aykroyd's Tom Snyder. Last week, we revealed 12, 11, and 10, which were Kate McKinnon's Hillary Clinton, Daryl Hammond's Bill Clinton, and Bill Hader's Alan Alda. So, Brennan, what do you think of the list so far? Does it make sense to you? Are there any weird ones in there?
I absolutely love the list so far. Not weird ones, because the most important thing I love about all these lists we do is that you think just because the show's gone on for, 49 seasons, that more people would gravitate to the stuff, the newer stuff. Not they wouldn't gravitate to the newer stuff versus the older stuff, but that everyone who's a part of this community has seen enough episodes and have seen enough of these characters that they know that this guy from the 70s and this character from the 80s, this character from the 90s, this impression from the 2000s, this impression from the 2010s, they know how to rank them. Like, they're not in eras, because these impressions don't have an era, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that is very true. We do have a great mix of eras throughout the list, and we're going to continue to do that tonight as we talk through the three impressions that we reveal. So before we get going with number 9, Brennan, I would love to know from you, what to you makes a great SNL impression? What are your criteria that you look for when judging these?
Well, first off, John, am I able to spoil our big surprise tonight about our three?
Do you want to?
Should we wait?
I think we should wait. Because okay. I know what you're saying. I don't want to tease the listeners, but I think it's like a fun little aspect of the three impressions. And I think it's like, I don't want to, put the car before the horse,
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I would say the most important part about a political or impression of any of these any of these people that get on SNL is the availability of a person to first off hear the impression and or see the impression and be like, I know who that is, which isn't a bad thing to say, especially when there are a few on this list already that don't really fit that description. But if you ask me, I think the most important impressions are ones that aren't just like perfect impressions, but these impressions have become synonymous with this person. And even if they aren't 100% right, you think about the SNL impression and you think about the person at the same time.
Right. Okay. So there's something about the three impressions that meet Brennan's criteria of what he looks for in impressions, but I'm not going to say what it is now. We'll talk about it once they're all revealed, because that'll make more sense. All right, Brennan, yeah, anything else? Anything else off the top before we get into it?
My number one impression has already been revealed. So,
which is what?
Oh, Steve Harvey.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Well, at least to crack the top 20, Steve Harvey clocked in at number 16. All right, let's do this. Let's go starting with number 9. And I think it's time to get ready to party.
And now from the home of the Attorney General of the United States, it's time for Janet Reno's dance party.
Yeah, that's right. That is Attorney General Janet Reno, played by Will Ferrell, coming in at number 9. Janet Reno was the Attorney General from 1993 to 2001. And the clip I played was from the very fun sketch that Will Ferrell did, Janet Reno's Dance Party. I think that was written by Scott Wainio at the time as well with Will. But 13 times on Saturday Night Live, we saw Will Ferrell play Janet Reno from 1996 to 2001. And this was a member of Bill Clinton's administration, the Attorney General. And boy, was this like a really fun way for Will Ferrell to get an impression in there before eventually we're going to get George W. Bush. And SNL had a lot of fun with this impression. So before I give my thoughts on it, Brennan, would love to hear what you think.
I forgot about this one until I remembered when I was 7 or 8 years old, and my first experience with SNL was a Best of Will Ferrell DVD, and this one was on there, and I went back to like my childhood. I had no idea who Janet Reno was. I was born in 1998, so at the end of Clinton, at the end of all that fun stuff, I didn't know who this was. I knew about the sketch, like Janet Reno's Dance Party, before I knew who Janet Reno was. And Will Ferrell is just so hilarious as Janet Reno. I don't know where the anger in this character comes from, right? Because I don't know. I wish I knew more about Janet Reno. I did my Wikipedia research. I looked up, you know, Waco, Texas. That was important. I looked up her and her in the cabinet. I looked up her height, of course, which was very important to the character.
Certainly.
And just like got down to the nitty gritty of this person and this impression. And I thought to myself, like, this is really fantastic. Like, I don't know how they came down to Will Ferrell being the person to play Janet Reno outside of he could pull it off and he's tall. And that's exactly what happened. And we got this character 13 times. We got this impression 13 times. And I think it's a hit every time.
So let's lay all the cards on the table about this impression. It is very interesting to examine it in 2023. I'm not necessarily going to be like, oh, we have to be like the PC police for everything. But the truth is that it's a very masculine impression of a woman. And Will Ferrell plays it not like as himself as a man, but he plays it like overtly masculine. And the joke here is a lot is like how masculine this woman is. Mm-hmm. And let's go about that. And then, you know, the question is like, is it funny? Like, does it get there? And at the time, I think this was a huge deal. This was like such a funny joke that everybody was in on, and to the point where, you know, they would set up these crazy scenarios for Janet Reno, like her hosting her own MTV style dance party. And, you know, on its own, is it funny? But then the thing, Brennan, that I think you and I were discussing a little bit beforehand is like, at one point, the real Janet Reno shows up and sort of gives her blessing in a way to the impression. Yep. So in retrospect, examining all of these 13 things, I'm able to like be like, okay, it's kind of fun as opposed to it being offensive.
No, again, that's
I'm
the main.
Man, so I'm just exactly. But I just want to put it all out there, you know?
So yeah, like, of course it could be seen like anytime, especially nowadays, you look at people that like the men on the cast that would play a female, do a female impression. The one I always, like when I started watching the show, it was Kenan Thompson as Whoopi Goldberg a lot.
Right.
And then soon enough, it was Leslie Jones being Whoopi Goldberg instead. And
can I just jump in there that the major difference there obviously is that there was no black woman on the cast to play
person
as opposed to where there were women on the cast to play Janarino. They just gave it to Will because they thought that Will would do it, you know, a hilarious job with it.
And this is also where I was going to say that that one isn't a like a masculine impression though. It's just this is who we got. This is Kenan Thompson's going to play Whoopi Goldberg because we're doing a viewer, the talk sketch, whatever it was. And I always thought the impression was funny. I always thought Kenan Thompson was funny as Whoopi Goldberg. And then soon enough, it was Leslie Jones who, it makes more sense to do it that way. But I preferred Kenan as that role, if you ask me.
Okay.
That's a bit back off topic, but like, you know, back into Janet Reno, was like played, you're right, as a masculine character. Just, you know, like I think of the dance party sketch more than the character itself, even when they show up in the, you know, just like cold open or, I mean, there's the one where they do the Broadway sketch.
Right.
But, yeah. And I think the sketch itself like stands on its own as you could put like not Janet Reno in here, but then you have to like cut like the Bill Clinton stuff out. You know what I mean? Because it could still be a funny sketch. As just like a masculine, like this person being super old, having a dance party for teenagers. I don't know. I feel like that would work as a sketch idea, just in general.
Yeah, but I also think that like an interesting aspect of this impression is not just that it's like you know, a traditionally masculine male playing a woman. I think it's like that it's Will Ferrell specifically doing this because he could play like angry so well. He's probably one of the best angry cast members in the history of the show, beginning with Get Off the Shed. Like that's that exactly was his what thing, I was right? Say. So if you, and this is what I talk about a lot with new cast members when they get off on the show, if you want to do well on Saturday Night Live, you need to teach and educate the viewers what your thing is. Like, what do we know you as? Like, what are you, what's your archetype in sketches? And then flip it on its head, have fun with it, do different impressions. But we need to get like who you are as a person on the show. Will established himself as a cast member so early on and then built on his strengths that I think that's what made him probably a Mount Rushmore cast member in the history of the show. And I think here, the characterization of the Janet Reno impression fits so well in the archetype of Will Ferrell that it almost like supersedes the fact that it's a man playing a woman. It's really just Will Ferrell playing Janet Reno. And it's like their personalities almost are like so perfect. Like you could see the character of Will Ferrell as a person, like you could see that person being like best friends with Janet Reno because their personalities match so much. So that's why I think this works so well.
It does. It works phenomenally. And I say that like Will Ferrell isn't just angry as Janet Reno. He's like seething. Is that a better way to like this character? Yeah.
Let me play this, Brennan. I'll play. I clipped one thing just to give the listeners an example if you've never seen one of these sketches. So here's a little bit of Janet Reno.
See, that's it. You kids asked for it. Here comes 180 pounds of pure Reno.
Go ahead.
It's just like everything they say, well, everything, you know, Janet Reno says is just, oh my gosh, it's just like you're lying to me, or like that this is like the it's, oh my god, it's, I mean, I've I'm just starting to blank again, but like,
oh, it's okay. No, you're doing great.
It's like you watch so many sketches just to get back into this, and you're like, you get like the personification of like Janet Reno on SNL, and Will Ferrell just does such a good job, and there's such like an interesting story going on with this character. Like every time, you know, Bill Clinton shows up, you know, 7 or 8 times, or he's part of the sketches every time.
Well, let me ask you, Brennan, from all of the ones that you watched, there's 13 of them. Was there one that you would recommend to the listeners to check out if they were going to Google or try and look up on YouTube one of these sketches?
Well, because it's aged so well, it's the Rudy Giuliani one.
Right. Where, the real Rudy Giuliani, yeah. Giuliani, by the way.
Like, see, that's the way to say it. Yeah. So Rudy Giuliani shows up and they have a boxing match. That's all you have to say. It's very well done. It's really very well. Like, if you don't know who Rudy Giuliani is and you don't know who Janet Reno are, it is, and then you look up both of these people and you look up that sketch and you go, that wasn't supposed to age the way I thought it was, but it really aged really well for, you know, who doesn't want to do what Janet Reno does in that sketch? So,
right. And that one's from November 22nd, 1997, season 23, episode 7. I do see the chat is asking about who wrote those sketches. That would be Scott Wanio with Will Ferrell. At least for the Janet Reno dance party sketches. So yeah, I mean, to me, that was the one I would say check out as well. I mean, you might have some, like, you know, very strong thoughts naturally towards Giuliani, but I think, like, you know, in the Mayor of New York phase of his life, I think,
oh, absolutely, like, it's so interesting. Absolutely.
It's a very interesting sketch. I do think that some of the fun versions of the Janet Reno impression are ones where you didn't necessarily expect Janet Reno to pop up in a sketch, but in comes Janet Reno. Like, I think it's the April 19th, 1997 cold open with Pamela Lee hosted that episode, season 22.
Yeah, that one. Yep.
That one opens up with Bill Clinton, Daryl Hammond's Bill Clinton, making a speech, and then in pops in Janet Reno to take over. I mean, that's the type of thing.
I love that one.
Yeah, that's the thing that, like, it really works. It's really a great contrast to, like, a calm, like, cool Bill Clinton, and then in comes Janet Reno to be the aggressive one. I think it's fun.
There's the X-Files one with Duchovny.
Yep, that's another great one as well. So yeah. What do you think about where it landed on the list? Is this a top 10 impression in the history of the show? It comes in at number 9 here, Brennan.
Like I said at the beginning, I'll admit I forgot about this one, but as soon as I, like, remembered watching it as a kid and just saw how important it was to the show during the late 90s or middle of 90s to the very early 2000s, I'm like, this is like a phenomenal impression / characterization of this person. And I absolutely do believe it's a top 10 for the series.
Interesting. So I think it's a little high. I would probably say it's definitely a top 20 impression, maybe top 15. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little high at number 9. I am so fascinated that people remembered this as much as it did, because I think Janet Reno is, like, lost to time as a character.
Yep.
Like, she's no longer around in real life. I think Will Ferrell has other impressions in the history of the show that are more memorable. So for me, this is interesting. So I think what happened here is it is on its own a top 15 impression probably, and then it gets that bump of people remembering that the real Janet Reno showed up to give her blessing to the impression. And I think when that happens, sometimes we get a little bit of a boost on the list. Do you agree with that?
I was going to say I was thinking it was more of the satirical / fictional sketch that accompanied it. That's what I was going to say. I feel like it gets a boost from the dance party, and this wouldn't have been as memorable if they didn't create a sketch around this person.
Yeah. And Will Ferrell has a lot of really great impressions. Like, one of the best impressionists, I think, that just, like, you know, has the, obviously, like, people remember, and others may appear on the list, but people remember, like, I see Neil Diamond in the chat, Trebek, Harry Carey. There's a lot of, like, really fun, Bush, obviously, there's a lot of really fun impressions in the history of the show. I just wonder if you are a more casual SNL fan and you're watching in the 90s, if the Janet Reno dance party having its own sketch really changes your perception of this, boosts it up, makes this, you know, the top two or three Will Ferrell impression as opposed to some of the other ones. But either way, this was a fun one to get to talk about.
Absolutely.
All right, Brendan, anything else on this? Are we ready to get to number eight?
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else to mention about Janet Reno or her dance party.
Okay, sounds good. Well, definitely go check that out. All right, let's get to number eight on the list, making our way up. And this is an impression that we somewhat talked about already, but we're going to talk about a little more because it's connected to an impression that was previously on the list. So here we go.
I am dark and you are light.
You are blind as a bat, then I have sight.
So earlier, we had at number 19, Joe Piscopo's Frank Sinatra. At number 8 comes Eddie Murphy's Stevie Wonder impression, the other side to that Ebony and Ivory parody that we had back in the day. And this was Eddie Murphy, very famous impression, only done really 3 or 4 times on the show. In 1981, a Fiddler on the Roof parody, we just played the Ebony and Ivory, which is like a very, very famous sketch that I think has moved like past the show. Like, I don't even know if people know that's SNL, like sometimes when they've seen that. Then Stevie Wonder himself hosts the show. And during that episode, we have 2 appearances, one officially and one sort of unofficially, of Eddie Murphy doing the Stevie impression in sketches with Stevie Wonder. And this is a interesting impression because technically, like, only doing it 4 times in the show was it so impactful, but obviously Eddie Murphy as a cast member is so freaking impactful, and this may be his top impression. So Brennan, thoughts on it coming in here at number 8?
I like how well done it is. It's it's a weird to say. I would say respectful. That's not the right way to put it, but like, you think of Stevie Wonder and he's not doing anything like crazy that like Stevie Wonder wouldn't, like, isn't known for himself. It's like that sketch itself really boosted this impression up in my mind, because I didn't know the other two existed, really. I hadn't seen them until recently, and when I looked them out, they were both very funny. But I only knew about the Ebony and Ivory sketch. I didn't know anything about his other 2 times he did that, and when he showed up as them. Very, very, very good impression. Eddie Murphy's probably one of the best straight-up singers on the cast, so it makes sense that he would do a really good job at impersonating a phenomenal singer.
For sure. So John in the chat brings up something interesting, which he says that if he's going to choose an Eddie Murphy impression, he's probably going to go with James Brown. Mm-hmm. And I would think the same thing, right? Like, the hot tub is the sketch that like most people will remember. I do think that the Sinatra impression and the Stevie Wonder impression helped boost each other, because when you had people voting and people would send in their votes, they would list like a bunch of impressions sometimes that they would want to send in. People were like, oh, I love Joe's Frank Sinatra and Eddie's, you know, Stevie Wonder. And they would go hand in hand with each other. So I think that boosted this one up the list. This one obviously much higher than the Sinatra one. But either way, like, you know, this is a very fun impression. I think, like, look, they're going to, you know, cover the fact that Stevie's blind. Eddie happens to be a good singer. He's able to do that Motown R&B flair with his voice and stuff like that. You know, as an impression itself, is it like life-changing that you just heard this and you're like, oh my God, Eddie's Stevie Wonder? But it's just the fact that Eddie's just such a dynamic performer, I think that's what really boosts this up here. So other thoughts, Brennan?
I mean, I will say there's absolutely a part in the Ebony and Ivory sketch where you see the crowd break out into like an actual like cheer for his performance there, and like that's really interesting to see. Like, his, that's not the first time that Eddie Murphy appears as Stevie Wonder. That's the Fiddler on the Roof, if you can call it even a sketch. It's about 30-45 seconds long. But I will agree with one of the commenters here that I thought that little 45-second that's Fiddler on the Roof sketch was like really well done, and it kind of is better than the Ebony and Ivory sketch. I think it's very funny. You have to get what Fiddler on the Roof is, but I think it's very funny that Stevie Wonder is slash Eddie Murphy is singing songs from A Fiddler on the Roof. Because
love the way you say roof.
Roof. Just, like water.
Saying, yeah, you're saying it like a dog barks. But yes, Fiddler on the Roof. Roof. Yeah. Is like a very famous like Yiddish movie. As a Jew, like I've seen Fiddler on the Roof many times. But yeah, the A Fiddler Be on the Roof sketch from February 21st, 1981, the Charlene Tilton episode of season
from
6.
Dallas.
Yeah, that is, you know, it actually is good. I mean, I was gonna say Stevie. It's Eddie in a starring role here, and it is kind of fun. Like I said, I mean, look, if I'm gonna like, I always look at things like a little bit analytically. Like, if I'm gonna analyze, like, do I really feel like this is this has the stats to back up a top 10 impression in the history of the show? No, but I think it's the Eddie Murphy star power here that like really moves this up the list. So that's ultimately what I have to say. I do see some discourse in the chat that the Stevie and Sinatra Ebony and Ivory parody might be a little bit overrated, and I think naturally so, because like I said, I've seen this clip go all over social media to the point where it's like, I don't know that people, you know this is Saturday Night Live or who Joe Piscopo is even. They just play this. I've seen this play on TikTok. So for me, I really feel like this, you know, those two impressions get the huge boost here. And then, I mean, the Stevie Wonder episode of Saturday Night Live, May 7th, 1983, they do a couple sketches there. One is called The Story of Stevie, and one is The Stevie Experience. And it's very like, and they would do this a lot during the Ebersol era, which was like they would focus sketches like really around the host, like theme them around the host. And one of them is like just going through Stevie's life and Stevie as a baby and like literally like playing his whole life story.
That's very funny that that whole one is, I really do like, it's a very, very well done, very, very well done sketch.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is very well done. And we get Eddie singing My Sharia Moore as Stevie Wonder. And it's really good. So to me, the quality is here. The question is like, had Eddie been on the show for as long as like a Will Ferrell or a Daryl Hammond or some of the other like big impressionists, would we have seen this impression 10 times, you know? And in that case, does that stamp it as the impression to make it the top 10? Because I'm wondering, Brennan, to you, is the only reason why it may not be there is because it wasn't done so much?
Yeah, honestly, it's good all three times, but I only knew the Ebony and Ivory sketch, and I thought it was good. I'm a big fan of parody songs. It's very hard to write a good parody, and while that one is, I wouldn't say a good parody, I'd say it's very well done to make fun of the specific message of the song. It's not any more important or anything more special than that. It's just, hey, like, this is what the song's about. We'll put it as bluntly as we can because I'm Frank Sinatra and Stevie Wonder. Like, that's funny. I get that. I like the song more than I like the impression. Impression sounds like Stevie Wonder, both talking and singing. But would I have thought about it up this high? Not in the slightest.
Okay.
It sounds bad, but like,
that's
like,
fair. I mean, yeah.
I'd name it. It'd be on, if someone asked me to list a whole bunch of impressions, it'd be on there somewhere.
I would say I would, and it did come above them, but I would definitely put this above Alan Alda from Bill Hader. I probably would put this above Tom Snyder from Dan Aykroyd. So there's at least a couple on this list that are like a little bit, eh. I think, do you have anything else, by the way, on this impression?
Not on this one, but I think the Alan Alda Bill Hader is just so funny.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't get the, I don't know Alan Alda enough, like, for the way he's riffing it. I know how, like, what he sounds like and stuff, but I just like how that character sounds. I think it's very funny, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into number 7 on the list. And I will say, I think that the top 7 impressions on this list. Brendan only knows 7. He doesn't know 6 through 1. But I think that the top 7 on this list are like iconic impressions in the history of the show. I think that there is a, I see it in the voting too. There's like a major jump up in votes. I think our top 7 here are clear top 7, top, or at least top 10 impressions in the history of the show. So to me, I think that this, now we're heading into like the majors to break down some of these big impressions in the history of the show. And let's start with an impression who had a very famous catchphrase, giving this one right now, number 7 on the list.
Lockbox.
Yeah, that is Daryl Hammond's Al Gore, who was the vice president of the United States before he was a major presidential candidate. Most people will remember Daryl's Al Gore impression for being the foil to Will Ferrell's Bush. Number 7 on the list here was played 20 times between 1999 and 2007, was also impersonated on the show by Kevin Nealon, Mark McKinney, and actually Will Ferrell a few times. Many people will also remember that the real Al Gore hosted the show in 2002, has also appeared in 2006, 2009, and 2018 as well. But as far as Daryl's Al Gore is concerned, there is a lot of fun here to get into. So Brennan, I will head over to you. Your thoughts on the impression and its spot on the list.
I love this impression. It's very funny. It's very well done. I'm glad it's higher than Clinton's, Daryl's Clinton, because I believe it's a better impression than Bill Clinton. I think it's just, man, there's a lot that he could work with here. He saw that first debate. You did a interview with Daryl Hammond, and he's like, he doesn't actually all sound like that, but that's what he sounded like close enough to that thing. So we ran with it, and then that impression is synonymous with Al Gore. I mean, even more so than the South Park Al Gore, which I think is very funny, but it's not really an impression. I saw South Park before I saw SNL, and I saw that Al Gore impression of, so this is off topic, this is South Park, but I did not get that Man Bear Pig was a climate change joke until very, very long in the future. But Al Gore is, this impression is phenomenal. There's only one Daryl Hammond impression I'd put higher. I'm not going to spoil it if it is on this list. But man, this Al Gore impression. Daryl Hammond is one of the best impressionists on the history of the show, one of the best cast members on the history of the show. And Al Gore, it's phenomenal. It's really well done. You can watch that first debate with Bush like on YouTube right now.
Yeah.
And you can cut to that video, just go back and forth. He sounds exactly like him. I at least I feel he does, in terms of, you know, making a joke of it, but lockbox indeed.
I think that, and by the way, that's October 7th, 2000. That's the third time that Daryl plays Al Gore. That's the first presidential debate. And I think that this is, these 2000 debates are so important. You can't tell the story of SNL without these debates and the 2000 political season. Mm-hmm. It's really monumental in a way that I think is like, you know, starts to shape the way that they do politics. Like there's a clear like pivot point, I think, before and after this. And, you know, I think it had been a while. I mean, there's a lot of really fun stuff with Bill Clinton and the way that they did the previous presidential campaigns, and even going back to the Dukakis stuff with Lovitz and all the Reagan stuff. But I really think it's like probably the biggest political moment in the history of the show, that sketch where they have the lockbox and the strategery and all that stuff.
Happening there. Yep.
Yeah. And it's just the fact that there is already, before the results are even announced in real life, there is a clear, like, are you a Al Gore, Daryl Hammond person, or are you a Will Ferrell, George Bush person? And it's like, they were able to like pit people against each other fictionally as much as people were pitted against each other in real life. And then the fact that this election ends up being so close in real life, where they have to recount stuff down in Florida, and then the results and announcement is delayed, and politicians in real life start blaming Saturday Night Live for the impressions of Daryl's Al Gore and Will's Bush, that it influenced the election. I think it's so memorable and so important that, to me, this is a no doubt top impression in the history of the show.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I saw this on 7 and I was like, the top 6 must be really, really good for this to be at 7.
Yes. And they are. They are very good. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting if people think that this did belong at 7 and below or after. But I do think that this is at least in the top 7. And so we go through those 3 debates, and then there's a lot of stuff throughout like November and December of 2000 as they're waiting to make the decision. Who is actually going to be the president? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen? Is this going to be like, are they going to have to re-vote at some point? Like, what's, and you know, the whole country is like never experienced anything like this, you know, in its history. And then we finally get the decision of, okay, it is actually Bush that won the election. And we have a bunch of sketches here where it's like, okay, Bush won. But like, what would it have been like if Al Gore won the election? And like, what's the reaction to him conceding? We have some really fun sketches there. And then, of course, we're going to get, you know, after that election cycle, we'll eventually get more of the like environmentally conscious Al Gore that will pop up throughout the years with Daryl on update. So any fun memories of the later stuff that you saw there?
I mean, I think like the last time we see Daryl Hammond's Al Gore is a, oh, isn't the trophy case sketch?
Yeah.
So, man, this is like, it's honestly hard to beat. This is probably like outside of the debate sketches, this is my favorite appearance as Al Gore for Daryl Hammond. I think the makeup is like really, really good in this 2007 one for some reason. It's a weird way to put it, but like the way he looks in this one is just uncanny valley Al Gore almost. But he's walking around like his room because he won the Nobel Prize, I think, like the week before this episode came out or something, and he talks about his Oscar that he won for An Inconvenient Truth, and then his Grammy he won for the audiobook of An Inconvenient Truth. And I won't do it the way he does it, but I think every single time he says his title of his movie, An Inconvenient Truth, it's like an accent or a emphasis on a different part of a different word every time. And I think it's very, very funny. He like walks around, he has like a picture of like he was vaccinated against measles, and he has that up on the wall. He has his diploma from Harvard, like a world's greatest dad mug, and he explains that all other world's greatest dad mugs are replicas of this one, and he's got it in like a secure, could I say, lockbox.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, that he's from that's from the Bon Jovi episode, by the way, season 33.
That's a fun one. He didn't, I don't know why he was hired to host in 2007, but it's a weird episode, but that's a very funny sketch. So
yeah, and again, I will refer back to our interview with Daryl, where he talks about like how he set himself up for these impressions. Mm-hmm. Like he viewed, and I'll summarize it. He basically views Saturday Night Live like a sport. It's really it comes in line with, you know, some of the ways that I view the show. But for him, he sees himself as a specific position on the cast, and he doesn't care about anything else. He only cares about fulfilling that role and that position. So if the producers, if the writers went to him and said, hey, we need an Al Gore, we need a Chris Matthews, we need a Bill Clinton this week, he's just like locked in on like that impression, becoming that person, what he's going to say. And it is so fascinating to get to see somebody like that succeed on the show for as long as he did. And I just think, like, you know, the Clinton stuff to me was like, was the first phase of Daryl Hammond on the show, like him becoming the president, seeing how good of an impressionist he is. That was really his cast. And I think this is a really transition point for Daryl to sort of become just the impression guy for the rest of his time on the show, where he's just going to become so good at Al Gore that they're going to put him in a lockbox for the rest of his time on the show, where it's like, we're not going to put you in sketches anymore because you're too good. We need you to just focus on the impression. So I do think that for Daryl's career, this is a really interesting transition point.
Yeah, one of his best sketches is like in a one where he's playing an impressionist. It's that Shia LaBeouf match game one, plays Rich Little, and they just keep stopping his impressions because they're annoying the host or whatever. That's so funny. Like, he's a phenomenal impressionist, and like I said, I'll go back to, you know, your podcast too, because I listened to it and then you were on it. But he's like, yeah, I did Al Gore like a million times in training and no one really cared about it, but as soon as I was on the show, he said lockbox and they're like, this is a really good impression. He didn't say it that way, but he said that he didn't get any like anything like any criticism about it, because I think he said people liked Al Gore as like a person too much to make fun of him.
Yeah,
that sounds familiar. But yeah, no, this is a really good impression of a really interesting character that was so good of an impression that they just kind of shoehorned him in so many sketches that that's not a bad thing. Like, I think it hit almost every time. So
for sure. 20 times we saw it on the show. So, Brennan, at the beginning of the podcast, we brought up something in common between the Al Gore, Stevie Wonder, and Janet Reno impressions. What was it for you that stuck out about why these three may have made the top 10?
Yeah, I think, and I might be onto something here, but if you get the person that is being impressed, as you'd say, or as someone would say, never, but if you can get that person that is being impersonated on the show to even just be on the show, or even, you know, give you the blessing to be in the same sketch as them, it must be a pretty dang good impression if the person who is that person is on the show and making fun of, or even playing along with your impression as well.
I totally agree. I think that made a huge difference for a lot of these that you're, you know, you've already seen on the list and ones you may see coming up. So we'll see what happens in the future. I do want to point out before we jump off the Al Gore stuff, his appearance in 2006 on the Julia Louis-Dreyfus episode, he did a cold open, which was an alternate universe where he won the 2000 election and what was happening in 2006. And that's the real Al Gore doing that. One of my favorite cold opens of all time. I love that stuff. Like, I'm a sucker for like alternate universe theory and like what's happening in another world if like one thing changed. And like, to me, this, it was so funny, so well written, and so many like quick-witted jokes. He pulls it off so well. And to me, like, if you haven't gone back and seen that, that's like the second to last episode of season 31. I actually think that's like a top cold open in the history of the show, like maybe top 10, top 15. Like, it's so, so well done. Like, it's probably one of the best just direct to camera one person cold opens I've ever seen. So just while I thought of it while we're talking about Gore. But anything else on this impression, Brennan?
Yeah, not on this one, but I will go back to saying like those alternate history stuff, like, man, they must have done like four or five of those with Trump. Yeah. I may be overthinking, but like, they were, I thought they were all good. It's a really good idea, and I think it's pretty like good one to kind of change up a cold open a bit where it's not, you know, the straight news story. Like, it does end up being every now and then, so.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we are down to the final six impressions to be revealed. Next week, we're going to do 6, 5, and 4 with another great guest. And then 2 weeks from now, you will have the entire list and we will go over which ones deserve to be there, which ones didn't. And it'll be fun to talk through that all. But Brennan, fantastic job today. So great to get to talk to you. Anything you would like to say or plug to the listeners?
Yeah. So I will be doing the SNL Hall of Fame podcast season premiere August 21st, it will be out on wherever your podcasts are sold. But I am going to be putting my name in for, or putting, how should I say this? I am in charge of the man, the myth, the legend, The Rock, and making sure he makes it in the Hall of Fame, just like his run as president with Tom Hanks went so well in his five-timers sketch where he announced he was running for president with Tom Hanks as his you know, his vice president, and he does a very, very good thing in that sketch of turning down Alec Baldwin as his running mate, which aged incredibly well, should I say, but maybe too well, I'd say.
Interesting. So, okay. I look forward to hearing that. So, I look forward to hearing that on the SNL Hall of Fame coming up later on this month. But it was so great to get to talk to you, Brennan. As for what's coming up here, so we have some fun extra shows that will be happening over the next 2 weeks. Later on this week, we have our Just for Laughs coverage finally coming out. So all the interviews that we did from the red carpet, those will be edited and released. And I will talk to Mike Murray about our experience at Just for Laughs. So you'll get that show later on this week. Stay tuned to our social media, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, at the SNL Network. We'll announce when that show is being released. Then next week, like I said, we'll be back with the countdown on Monday. Next Wednesday, not this Wednesday, but a week from Wednesday, we have another edition of SNL Stories. We're going to be catching up with Oz Rodriguez, former SNL video producer, editor, director, just incredible guy. He has a new movie coming out, so he's going to talk to us about his time at Saturday Night Live as well as his new movie. So that show will be out next week, midweek, and we'll wrap up the countdown and then announce further shows after that. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. That will be really great for helping people find the show. Brennan, anything else you got?
Not personally, but I'm very excited to see who those top six are. I have a inkling that they may or may not have a few more political faces in there. So,
for sure. Well, thanks to everybody in the chat for joining us live tonight. For Brennan and myself, John, from the Saturday Night Network, we will see you next time, everybody. Have a good one.